Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jot Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jot Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome, my friends, to episode number 109 of Jacques Talk. I'm Jean-Jacques Taylor, joined by my boy Big Joe and the Big Rig. What's the sit rep, dog?
Let's see here. 48 seconds and a throat clear in the background. We are 5x5, my friend. Operation Jacques Talk is a go.
Well, I am glad to hear that. And we are off and running. 109, which means number 9. You probably going to go with Tony Romo, but I feel compelled to go with Mitch Hoops.
Mitch Hoops was a punter.
In 1975 when I moved to Dallas.
Yeah, I'm sensing a little Google, action.
No, sometimes, man, just weird people. I mean, yeah, you should know this. Sometimes weird people just stick in your head.
How did I know Mitch Hoops was a punter?
Yeah.
How did I know that?
That's as bad as me coming up with Mitch Hoops.
Yeah.
But Mitch, we all know it's Tony Romo, but Mitch Hoops just popped in my head.
Mitch Hoops, 1975. Somebody remember. Somebody else beside us remember that. But
I told you this when I moved to Dallas. The year the Dirty Dozen. All them years of rooting for the Buffalo Bills. I show up in Dallas and we got a winner. I jump ship quick. It didn't even take a minute. But
good stuff. It's good stuff right there.
Let's move on. This show, no Todd Archer today because we all basketball. This is a late night edition of Jacques Talk. But this show today is presented by our friends at Smokey John's Barbecue, home of the Jam Session Bowl, 1820 West Mockingbird. Understand, real talk now, it is food to live for. Swing by Jam's, not Jam Session, swing by Smokey John's and try some of that barbecue. And as for the Jam Session Bowl, I highly recommend it. Here's what the Jam Session Bowl is. It's a bowl, and it's either got mac and cheese as the base, or it's got mashed potatoes as a base. And it is your choice, 2 out of 5 smoked meats. And then I'm telling you, my friends, they stick the good stuff on there. All the stuff you find on a loaded baked potato, like bacon bits and chives and onions and cheese. I guess chives are onions. Cheese and butter, sour cream, all that good stuff, man. They put it on top. Then, depending on whether you want to drench it with sauce or drizzle it with sauce to get that done for you, it is food to live for. I mean, you ain't take my word for it. People near and far have come to Dallas, and on my recommendation, or Big Joe's recommendation, have tried the Jam Session Bowl. And never has it been met with anything other than, my God, it's fantastic. Because it's food to live for. I mean, real talk, it's great. It's enough food for 2, easy, with leftovers. You got a little shorty. 3 of y'all can eat off the same thing, real talk. But it is food to live for. It's the Jam Session Bowl, Smokey John's Barbecue. It's fantastic. And if you got to have it in your life more immediately because you can't, like, get over there, then all you got to do, go to the website, SmokeyJohns.com, go to the marketplace, click on the sauce or the rub. They got a special right now. You can get both, $17. Have it at your crib in a couple days. If you just got to have it, like, right now, you can go to H-E-B. They popping up all over Dallas. You can pick the rub up off the shelves at H-E-B's all over Dallas. Burleson, Waxahachie, McKinney, Allen, Frisco, they're everywhere. But Smokey John's Barbecue, home of the Jam Session Bowl. You need it in your life. It is food to live for. It is what, Joe? Food to live for, man. I mean, you know, I didn't think it was that hard. All y'all laughing, and we all know why. Now, let's talk about something that's not a laughing matter, dog. Your Dallas Mavericks go down 105-100 tonight, or when y'all listening, they went down 105-100 in game 4. And this is my only problem with, I mean, pretty much everybody but me. Maybe you. We'll see. Dog, I think too many people assumed a sweep. You know who did not assume a sweep? Joe Trahan, my boy from Channel 8. He did not assume a sweep. Matter of fact, he thought Minnesota would win tonight. My only point was, that all the games have been so close that I just didn't assume they would roll out and just roll in game four. I thought it would be a tight game at some point. They'd make a run and pull away. But I just never assumed that they would blow them out or that they would just win easily. I mean, every game has been a dog fight. What do you think, Doc?
I was hoping that they would close it out. I don't know if I expected them to close it out as much, but I was really hoping to. I'm like everybody else. I was like, come on, y'all can do this. Let's get it over with. You know?
Yeah.
Let's get the job done.
Yeah, I just think that the way the series is played, I mean, literally, they've trailed into the last 5 minutes of every game. All the games have been tough. All the games have been hotly contested. It just seemed like if all of them are going to be like that, at some point, Minnesota's going to figure out a way to win one. Now, I wanted to see how the first quarter went. Would Minnesota show up? Okay, they showed up. And then, okay, they showed up. Let's see what happens when the Mavs hit them with a run. Will they go away? Well, they never went away, dog. And to me, they just seem to be. I think I put this on Twitter at one point. They, you know, it's only a 4-point game, but they're in complete control of the game. There's never a point where I felt like the Mavs were in control. There's never a point where I was like, oh, the Wolves are on the verge of being knocked out. Because they, you know, and I think it started in the first quarter when the refs let them play, and it took the Mavs way too long to match their physicality and their intensity, and they got off to that 24-12 start.
Yeah, I thought it took them a while, too, and I thought it was one of them things where your boy was playing way better. Karl Anthony Towns was playing closer to the basket. He was doing a lot more things, and not taking any threes at all. So that's the whole thing. I guess he listened to the noise a little bit, or he understood what he needed to do.
Listened to his coach.
Yeah, yeah. So.
You know what's funny is I put that in I put some things on Clapper, and you can always go to Clapper and find me at I Am Jean-Jacques Taylor. I put a video up right before the game, and one of my keys to the game was at some point it felt – I mean – whether it's Anthony Edwards, whether it's Luka Doncic, whether it's Kyrie Irving, if you're an NBA All-Star, and you're a legitimate All-Star, regardless of what you think about Karl Anthony Towns, he's a legitimate All-Star. He's just not going to suck every single game. You know what I mean? He has talent. He has skill. He's human. So, yes, he can have a lack of confidence or not feel at his best mentally or whatever. But at some point, you feel like, he gonna hit some shots at some point. He's not gonna go 4-for-32 on threes and just be a non-factor the entire series. I don't think. And it took him about third quarter tonight, but then he found a groove. And like any NBA player, once he found it, he's like, "Oh, I'm feeling myself now." And now the bucket is you know as big as it can be. And so, you know, he was the reason why they were able to pull ahead a little bit at the end. Anthony Edwards did a terrific job of finishing. And it was a little dicey, but, man, the Mavericks never really got control of this game at any point, or you thought they did.
Nah, I think when they didn't shoot that well and they got behind, they spent all their energy catching up. And then Minnesota would get back in and pull away, then they would catch up. Sometimes you spend – what do we talk about, baseball, football, basketball? You chasing people.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like they was doing. I don't think they ever really had control. But, it felt like they let one slip away. They had their chance to get it. But
I mean, I guess they did when it was 89-88. But here's the problem. Just tonight. Like, and we're only talking about tonight. Like, Kyrie never found it tonight. No. Which was surprising to me. No. I mean, he literally never found it. And normally we don't, we haven't seen him like that. Like, even when he wasn't scoring against Oklahoma City, he was dynamic and getting assists and doing some other things. So it was a little surprising that, I mean, he was 6 of 18 from the field, 1 of 6 on threes. He just never felt comfortable, never found a rhythm, never found a groove. Luka, I didn't realize he was 7 of 21 shooting. You know, he was doing yeoman's work to keep him in the game while everybody else was struggling. He ends up with 28 points. How about this, man? 15 boards, 10 assists. Heck of a game for Luka, but it wasn't enough. Their role players didn't play particularly well. P.J. Washington, 3 of 13 from the field. They did get some from Jalen Hardy. He came in 13 points, 12 minutes. But, you know, Maxi Kleber did a little bit on defense. So, you know, they didn't get any outstanding efforts, I don't think. I think Gafford played well, considering he didn't have his running partner. But, you know, overall, when you look at the game, the Mavericks never had control of it. They almost got lucky at the end. What'd you think when Luka throws up that prayer? He drops it, and I'm like, are they going to find a way to pull this out? And then he missed the free throw. And it was kind of like, you know what? That's kind of the way the night is going.
You don't want me. I'm going to say the C word. I'm thinking he choked a little bit. Can't be missing them damn free throw. I'm sorry. But you can't be. If you're trying to get in this thing, you can miss a three-pointer. Yeah, you can miss a drive and a layup. But when it's free, it's free. Hey, if you give me anything for free, donuts, Pepsi, a pre-order fry, I'm not missing none of that. I'm taking it out. Even if I don't eat it, I put it in the refrigerator. I'm taking it. So free throws is free throws. It's like, man, calm the hell down. Hit your free throw. And let's do it. Because you've been missing them in them clutch moments.
Well, I mean, you hit three the possession before to pull them within a couple points.
I saw that.
But, no, he didn't hit that one. I mean, even if you hit it, you're down 103-101. And if you foul them and they hit two free throws, you still got a problem. But you're banking on them missing one.
You're trying to keep it alive. That was a dirty play anyway. I thought it was sneaky. It wasn't dirty. It was sneaky good when he jumped into Carl Anthony Towns. Carl Anthony Towns had his back turned to him, and he turned back around, and Luka was jumping into him. A veteran move right there.
Yeah, I mean, Carl Anthony Towns. He played a terrific game on offense, 25 points in 29 minutes.
Yeah, he was stupid.
But he only played
defense.
29 minutes because he fouled out, and four of his six fouls were like, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah. Well, he was, you know what? He was trying to be aggressive. He was, you know, and sometimes that make you stupid.
Yeah, but that's what he do. I mean, he stays in foul trouble. So, you know, nobody's ever surprised when he's in foul trouble. But they got a nice game from Mike Conley early with 14 points. Rudy Gobert had a double-double with 13 and 10. And then they got just enough from some other guys. But the main thing was, and again, I don't think I'm breaking no news, their two-man tandem of Anthony Edwards and Cat severely outplayed the Mavericks' two-man tandem of, you know, Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving.
Let me do the Lee Corso. Not so fast, my friend.
Oh, okay.
Rudy Gobert with a double-double. Yes. Gafford, Lively was missing. Lively does a lot of, I don't want to jump, but Lively does a lot of things for us.
It sounds like you're jumping.
Well, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm just saying, I'm thinking about, I almost jumped in when you said Kyrie was off a little bit, but I'll back up. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's like this. When you're talking about the game itself, part of the reason why they didn't win today is they didn't have Lively. And because, you know, Gafford played fine. But the reason why they have been winning, the reason why they have been, I think it's 21-5 in the last 26 games, is they got a two-headed monster at center right now. And they're both playing well. And you don't get no breather if you're the opponent when the other ones step out.
Yeah.
Because they're the same guy almost.
Yeah.
They done cloned a 7 foot center who can run the court and block shots. The biggest difference, and you saw it tonight, the biggest difference is that when they run that pick and roll and they get a ball to either Gafford or Lively at the top of the free throw line, Lively is very decisive about, I'm either finna take this thing to the rack, which doesn't happen as often, or I'm finna wheel and hit one of my guys in the corner for a wide open three. Gafford doesn't do it as nearly as fast or nearly as good. And so, you know, the offense, you lose a little bit when he's not there as a facilitator. And then when he's not there defensively for those, you know, 30 minutes he would play, you lose that too. So it was a big loss. And that's one reason I thought today was going to be especially difficult, because they didn't have him to help facilitate the offense, because he's become a really good player in the playoffs.
That's why I was thinking about Kyrie. You take away Kyrie's option when you take a guy like Lively out, because now Kyrie going to shoot it, drive, and then who's going to be the threat in the paint? Because when he get in the paint, he's going to have the best layup you ever saw, or it's going to be the best pass you ever saw to a big man. You know, he just adapted that, and I think that's where they miss Lively. Plus, he going to block some shots Edwards don't finish. He don't do the things he was doing. He either faced the tired Gafford, or he faced Kleber, or whoever the hell else they wanted to put in there. Because, you know, he had some dunks, some highlight dunks, but that was more breaks and stuff. But a lot of that inside finishing he was doing, he wouldn't have did that against the fresh center.
Yeah, and I think that's all part of how the game played out the way it played out. Because I don't think they got their first dunk until like the end of the first half or early in the third quarter on a lob. And I saw this stat the other day that blew my mind, man. I can't remember if I put it up on Twitter or not, but the stat was this. In the playoffs, the Mavericks lead all playoff teams with 45 lob dunks.
Yeah.
Or 45 dunks on lobs.
Yeah.
Did you see the stat?
I didn't see the stat, but I can believe it. That's what we're talking about.
The second place team in the playoffs has how many lob dunks? Just take a guess.
26.
Nine.
Damn, nine. Okay.
Two teams are tied with nine. And I was just like, oh, my God. This is like Lob City. From back in the day with Chris Paul. It's amazing that the Mavericks, who have never, ever, to my knowledge, or to my memory, been considered a high-flying, above-the-rim team. They've been known for great shooters. But, you know, whether it's Dirk, and they've been known for Steve Nash as a penetrator, and they had some great offenses. But I don't think anybody's ever called the Mavs a team that played above the rim.
You got three big-time dunkers on there.
Yeah, don't sleep on 55.
That's right. That's right. 55.
Who had one today where he wasn't even in the screen when the pass was thrown.
Yeah. Mrs. Hartfield went crazy.
And that was a pivotal moment where the Wolves regained their composure, because I thought, well, here's a moment where the Mavs can surge, but the Wolves came right back. And they did that the whole game, man. Every time the Mavericks made a surge.
Yeah, they did.
And it felt like, oh, here they come. You know, somebody would hit a three. Somebody would make a good play. There'd be a turnover. There'd be something, and they push their lead back to 4-5. And that's why we keep saying that the Mavs never really had control of the game today. And, I mean, they fought hard to get it, but they just never got control of the game. And so I think you said it best. They were chasing the game, and they could never get it. I don't think they played poorly, but I think it was clear Minnesota played better. I think it was clear that Minnesota was determined early not to get swept. And, hey, man, it's human nature. I think they bought in a little bit about, oh, we up 3-0. I mean, they said all the right things. But then after the game, Luka's like, we didn't really bring the energy we needed to bring.
I thought you said teams don't let up.
Let me see. I know we had this discussion.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the context in which I said
that. I do. It's all good. I think.
Well,
I
like to have these nuanced conversations. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was saying they let up. I was saying.
You were saying they let up, and I said sometimes. I think I said. I know you'll correct me. I think I said sometimes. Yes, you do let up, and sometimes the other team plays better. It could be one or the other. It doesn't have to be that you didn't come prepared to play.
No, you didn't say that. You said you didn't
go
like.
Check the.
You was.
Go,
you, I go, will.
Yeah, check the tape. I will. Because every time you say you're gonna check the tape, you don't check the tape.
I got other shit to do. But all right. You said you didn't like the verbiage. Let up and lose one and let one. It was along with that. You know, you be using
right.
them. You be using them.
I tried.
You be using them multi-syllabic words and stuff just to be using them. You know, I didn't make it that many semesters in college, but I have a thesaurus and I practice sometime. But
I try to have the. I think anybody can make these basic, overarching statements, and I just like to have a more nuanced conversation because that's what the people come to us for.
All right, then.
If they just want the basics, they can go get that out in the world. Yeah. They want a nuanced conversation that gives them something more than they expected. Even if we go back and forth. Because remember, I'm a wordsmith. Words matter to me. You know, as we take this very quick exit ramp, I was having this conversation with my boss. I had made a mistake. I was still covering high schools, I think. Transitioning to colleges or the Rangers beat or something, but I was primarily covering high schools. And I had made some mistake, and I got called into the office, and he was not happy. Bob Yates was a man who was known for his temper. And he was asking me why I made this mistake. And I made the poor word choice, dog. I said, well, sometimes, you know, I just don't look up all the minutia. Dude, poor word choice. That man's face turned beet red. He grabbed a dictionary off his shelf. That's how long ago it was. He looked up minutia. He pointed at it and said, read it. What does it say? And it was something like stuff that's not very important. So you don't think this is very important? It's just, dog, it was probably one of the worst yellings that I got at the morning news. But it was all about word choice. It was very poor word choice. And ever since then, I've been obtuse in some cases about word choice because words matter.
Obtuse?
And, yeah.
I thought that meant you don't care or something.
No, sometimes that means you just being, I would say it means you being real anal about something because you do care. Or sometimes you're just being anal to be.
I thought it mean.
Yeah, you know, to be a similar to cuss word.
I know in Shawshank Redemption, he asked the warden, how can you be so obtuse about my freedom? In that context, he used it like he didn't care.
That's one of my favorite scenes. I don't know that it was.
He said, what did you call me? He said, that's what I'm saying. That's the context right there. I don't think you're using that word.
No, I think there's multiple contexts to it.
So it can mean you anal or it can mean you don't care. And so it's a two-way word. It mean the same thing?
I think so.
I don't know about that.
Well, you know.
I'm just a truck driver. I don't know.
See?
I'm just saying. It's kind of like punctuation, like, let's eat grandma or let's eat grandma. See, you don't put that comma in there, grandma dead. If you put that comma in there, grandma don't never be hungry.
Obtuse. Not quick or alert in perception. Feeling or intellect. Not sensitive or observant.
Ain't nothing anal about that.
Not sharp, acute, or pointed. Blunt in form.
See what I'm saying?
Indistinctively felt or perceived as pain. See, I'm saying when I'm talking about it, I'm talking about I'm not sharp. When I was referring to myself as being obtuse about that, I was not sharp about the word that I used.
I thought
and that's
you were
why
saying,
I words it.
I thought you were saying you was up. Never mind. We didn't win. I was way being obtuse.
Well, that's because you got to challenge everything.
No, you just said, can't let you, it said go. You was obtuse.
I was referring to myself as being obtuse, oh, which you, means I was not alert in perception about what I said about minutia.
You said you was
and
obtuse.
And that's why I got cussed out.
You said you was obtuse about your word usage. That's what you said.
So maybe you're right.
Yeah, I am.
Maybe that's a poor word choice.
Roger that.
But anyway,
yeah,
let's move on.
Yeah, way too far.
I mean, I went for a quick exit ramp, but you wanted to stop and go to Bucky's. But hey, it happens sometime. did you notice a difference in Anthony Edwards tonight?
Yeah, he looked tired. Yeah, he looked fired up. He looked desperate. He looked like,
I think that's a good word. Let's get it. They played with some desperation.
They damn sure did. Go home. They're tired of people talking about them, too. Don't tell me they don't listen to the noise. They do. You can't help it. You know? You are, if you're not listening to social media or the TV or whatever, ESPN, whoever, then you know it's there. You know it's there. You already know what people saying the minute you walk off the court.
Well, I mean, you do have to make yourself, you have to make yourself available to the media, so you can tell from the questions that you're being asked.
Roger that.
What's being said out there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why it was going to be an interesting first quarter, because, you know, or an interesting half, because you knew they would come out, but it was just a matter of when you get hit with that first punch, would you just be like, ah, here come the Mavericks, our season is over, or would you stand there and fight? And even in the fourth quarter, you knew the Mavericks were going to make a run. It was going to be the same thing. Damn, here they come about to close us out again. Or would you stand up and fight and be counted? And they chose to stand up and fight and be counted. You know, this is what I don't get. And this involves our friend Clarence E. Hill Jr. Because he put on, this is just me, man. He put on Twitter, because I said something about, hey, Carl Anthony Towns, you knew he'd find his game at some point. And he put on Twitter, it don't matter. He should have found his game in game 3. This one's over. And yeah, the Mavericks, I'm sure, will win the series. But, dog, all these games have been close. And now you have to go back to Minnesota, where they'll be acting a fool on their home court. I'm just saying that the reason why you wanted to close them out was this has been a very taut series, even though you've been winning. It's not like you've been blowing them out in every game. And, you know, sports is weird, man. And so I just don't assume that, oh, they'll go win game 5 now, because all the other ones have been close. I mean, hell, they needed the Luka 3 on the great play to win game 2. So, you know, perhaps I'm being naive. Maybe that's not the right word
either. That makes sense. My question would be, God damn all that game 3. Well, he brought his game tonight, so it's all good for them. And my question would be, what's up with Lively? Is he okay? Is he going to feel up to playing the next game?
Everything I've heard and read based off of today says they expect him to play in game 5.
Yeah, but my question is, how well is he? So, you know, it's injured and playing, and it's ineffective in playing. And that's my thing, is if he's not ready, go on, rest him. And maybe we lose the next one. But when he's ready, I think we beat them. I think they neutralized Gobert pretty well, that double-headed monster. You know, and then your boy can go back to playing with all his energy, because Gafford couldn't keep it up tonight, because he's not used to that. He ain't used to playing that deep in the season, and he ain't used to playing most of them minutes by himself.
Well, you know, I read something interesting about that. I didn't realize this. The way that they coached Gafford and Lively this year, or let me rephrase that. The way they coached them once they found, like, okay, this is how we play, is they told both of them, your job is to secure the ball and sprint to the other end of the court.
Rim run, yeah.
As fast as you can, as hard as you can, When you need a blow, we'll get you out and put the other one in. And so, you know, when you're playing like that, just like you said, dog, there's a reason why he plays basically 30 minutes and, I mean, 24 minutes, and Gafford plays the other 24. Because you're asking them to do a full-out sprint the whole time.
Yeah. And the fact that both of them can run.
Yeah, and both of them can catch. I mean, it's amazing how they found two guys and cloned them. You know, and so, yeah. But I expect him to play in game five. Obviously, we won't know his level of effectiveness until we see it. But, you know, that crowd is going to be amped. But they were amped in games one and two. And just like, and the Mavericks have been good on the road. The issue for them, like every road team, survive that first quarter, just let it settle into a ball game, and then go to work.
Yeah, I was amazed at how much Lively meant to the team, you know, when you get that rhythm. You know, you get a rhythm and stuff. That's what I was saying about him and Kyrie. When Kyrie go to the lane, you got that dude cutting. It's either going to open up for him or it's going to open up for Kyrie. One or the other, you know. You got to stay by yourself with Kyrie. And he ain't on, he's still going to score. But if he on and he going to do like he did the other day with the three people guarding him and him falling away in the right corner, he did that again. Like, damn.
Now, the only good thing about him having a bad game, and Luka considered himself to have had a bad game, is history says those two dudes come out really determined after poor games.
Yep.
To play to the level of their ability. And so I would expect them to each play well. I didn't really think Luka played that badly today.
It's just he didn't win. I think when he don't win.
Because I was looking at his stats, he only had three turnovers. It didn't feel like he only made 7 of 21 shots. It felt like he made more shots than that. He's 4-for-11 on threes. I mean, he played pretty well. And, like, he was playing. I saw this early in the game, man, and I was just like, sometimes y'all act like y'all don't understand basketball. Or you don't. I mean, you've seen the Mavericks enough in the playoffs now to understand how they're working. And so there's a point early in the first half, maybe it was second quarter, and let's see if you remember this play. Luka gets the ball, and he's on the wing, and he's open, and he sends it to PJ in the corner, and PJ misses a three. And Reggie Miller's like, I'd like to see Luka be more aggressive and just take that shot. And like, dog, have you not been watching how they play? He's trying to get PJ Washington untracked.
Right.
Because if I get him untracked, the game going to be easier for us because they're going to have to cover him. That's going to make it open for me, and then we can really go to work. Which is why later in the third quarter or the fourth quarter, he hit a three. And what did Luka do? He's like, yeah. You know, he made his gesture to him like, yeah, let's go. Because he'd been waiting for that all game. And I'm like, dog, it's not that complicated, man. You do this for a living. You played the game. You should understand for this particular team, what they're trying to do based off the way that they've been playing and winning in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know. Reggie, I know what Reggie is doing. He's just trying to call the game. But like you said, Reggie was thinking, well, Luka should go off for 50. Well, Luka been going off for 50, and they don't win. You know, if he want Luka to be more aggressive, Luka going to get his. But like you said, everybody else ain't going to be ready. And he need everybody. He need everybody to be ready. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't worry about that. How many rings Reggie got?
Stop it, man.
I'm just asking. How many he got? He got some great, great playoff performances.
Yeah.
But whatever. He don't have none. Luka don't have none either, but he going to get one for Reggie do.
Yeah.
There you go.
He's certainly going to have that opportunity.
Oh, he's going to get one. Mike, he's going to get one this year.
All right. You know, I mean, I think it's always when you lose in the playoffs, it feels like you'll never win again. And when you win in the playoffs, it feels like you'll never lose again. So there'll be a complete and total overreaction to this. just like there was a complete and total overreaction to the wins. And but that's okay. That's the beauty of playoff basketball. And you know, man, I think the bottom line tonight was their two man tandem beat the Mavericks two man tandem, and the question is, can they do it again? And I think you parlayed the answer when you talked about, you know, when Lively comes back, they're just a different team. And Lively, I think, you know, I contend, and I listen to arguments that I'm wrong. I contend he changed, man, that moment during the Oklahoma series where Kyrie told him, like, hey, man, quit running from the foul, go up there and knock your free throws down. And he went and knocked the free throws down. And I swear to you, it's like after the game, he was talking about, I just had a quick moment, asked my mom for strength. His mom passed away about a month before the season ended. And to me, he's just been a different player since then, a more confident player. He's probably shooting 80% from the free throw line since then. And his quick evolution as a player has made them a much more dangerous team, helped them close out Oklahoma City, and has helped them grab this 3-0 lead over Minnesota.
He got some good people around him. See, he got Kyrie, he got Luka, he's young, and he got Tyson Chandler. You know, sometimes when you play in these sports or you working on a job and people give you negative stuff when you do good and they okay with you when, I mean, they give you negative stuff when you do bad and they okay when you do good, that's not positive reinforcement. And you fall back on the negative shit when things go bad. But when you're getting positive reinforcement from three or four sources and you start doing bad, and you look to the heavens and get some strength from your mom and these other guys being positive, saying, hey, man, you can do it. Now, hey, dumbass, stop doing that. You know what I'm saying? It's one of them things where it's like you get positive reinforcement from Tyson. You get the two leaders on your team. Yeah. I think they're doing a good job with him. That's what I think. When you understand what I'm saying? Am I making sense?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's what I think's happening with him. As you can tell, like we talked about the other day, they positive on their team. But I just think the two big men, I think Tyson Chandler, I think a lot of Tyson Chandler. And the two big men are playing a lot like he plays, especially rebounding and running the floor and defense and all of that. I bet he look at him two or three times a game. You should have blocked that. You could have blocked. No, I don't think so. No, bro, you could have got over there and blocked. Tyson blocked everything. Everything. You know, broke my heart when they didn't keep the team together after they won the championship. That's a whole long-ass, crying-ass conversation by me. Let me ask you this, quick side exit or whatever. If you win a championship and you don't keep the band together, did you really win the championship?
Yes.
No, you didn't. You gotta keep them together so you can you can't be getting rid of J.J. Barrera and everybody that won that thing. You got to bring the band back. You got to let them try to repeat.
I mean, I think that was that just happened to be a very unique offseason because the rules were changing. It's not as, you know, and they were trying to get ahead of the rule changes.
Yep.
And, you know.
Yeah. That was awful.
Yeah, but they won the championship. I was there. I saw it.
All right, then.
I got tattooed the next day because I stayed over in Miami.
Okay.
At Miami Inc. Rick Carlisle gave me a hug in the corridors. That shocked me. So, yes, they won the championship.
Well, you know, you'd be so happy when you buy a car, you hug the salesman. Or you be so happy when you win in court, you hug the lawyer. Or you be so overjoyed that you actually hug a reporter.
You know, I've never experienced those first two.
Just saying. These are people that usually don't get no love. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, my point was that was
salesman,
just evidence.
The lawyer, the reporter. Yeah.
That was just evidence that they won. So, yes, they won. They did not keep the band together.
Hell
no.
You ain't really winning. You don't bring them back.
I mean, there's a statue of Dirk that I see two or three times a week.
You're being literal. I'm being figurative. I'm going to tell you, if you don't bring the band back, your ass ain't win one. Bring them back. Repeat. Try to repeat. Try to defend that thing.
You supposed to bring the whole team back?
Most of them, yeah.
We'll just let that sit there.
Yeah, go ahead. That's fine. You're supposed to bring most of them back. I don't know what you're talking about. You can let it sit there. You can let it marinate.
They did bring them. They did.
No, they didn't. Tyson Chandler didn't come back.
Who else didn't come back?
JJ. I can go down the roster.
We'll save that for another day. We Roger got a week that. Before the. We assume that they'll win this series. We got a week before the series will start. So we got we marked that down on the list of things we need to talk about.
Yep.
And then I can go do some research and have a better conversation for you.
Yeah, I don't need no research. I got you.
Oh, I didn't say you needed none. This is all for me.
Yeah.
This is all for me. But Mavericks up 3-1. Luka and Kyrie. What they do, dog? They went 13 of 39 from the field.
Yeah.
And they still were within shouting distance at the end. They'll play a lot better in game 5. And I have a hard time believing that they will not end up in the Western Conference. I mean, will not end up being Western Conference champs playing the Boston Celtics for a title. And if you really want to be positive, who wants a week off anyway when you're the Mavericks? You just want to be playing in rhythm and keep playing. How about that?
I guess.
Before we get out of here, we would be remiss if we did not talk at least a little bit about your Dallas Stars. They're up 2-1. They got Edmonton coming. They got game 4 with Edmonton today, which will be Thursday. And they are just what they are, man. They're a gritty team. They never panic. I would like to see them get off to a faster start. Then it got smashed upside the head, I would say, in each of the 3 games they've played against Edmonton. So it would be nice for them to come off and start with a strong first period and see what they can get done. But, dude, they was down 2-0 in the first 6 minutes of the game yesterday, and I was like, this feels like an ass kicking. And it was until the second period started. Then they went off. Scored 3 goals in about 5 minutes. Here's what's funny, man. I turned the game off and I was watching something after the first period. I got involved in it, and when I looked back, the score was 2-1. I was like, well, damn, how did they score? So I rewound the game like 5 minutes of game action so I could watch the goal happen as it occurred. So I watched them score. Jason Robertson with a sniper shot from the left circle. Kind of like where you used to like Jeremy Roenick a little bit back when we was playing EA hockey. Right off the circle. And I turned it back to real time, and it was 3-2. I was like, what the hell happened in these 5 minutes? And the answer is that Robo, Jason Robertson, found his game. It's no coincidence that he found his game when Rupe Hintz showed up. And I heard a great breakdown of this, and I'm just going to share it with y'all. Some of this was Bob Sturm from The Ticket talking, and some of this was somebody else. And they were somebody else who's completely different made another point about Jason Robertson, who had not scored in 11 games despite leading the Stars in goals this season. And they were like, what's wrong with him? And they were like, Rupe Hintz, the center, is out. Hintz is 6'3". About 200 pounds, fast and sturdy, and can score and can skate. And he draws so much attention that what happens? You lose sight of Jason Robertson, and he just kind of floats around and boom! You know, you look up and he done scored. Well, without Hintz there, guess who got all the attention, bro? Robo got all the attention. And Bob Sturm made a great point. He said, Robo has a great shot. But he's not big, and he's not fast. And so he ain't going to the front of the net and get beat up and bang around. Like, Brendan Morrow was not fast. Brendan Morrow was not big. But Brendan Morrow, who's the Stars' captain for about 6 or 7 years, scored all his goals in front of the net because he was tough, and he was mean, and he was nasty. And he would get down there and go to war with you and get all them deflections and tips and rebounds and stuff them back in there. Well, that ain't how Robo play. So if he doesn't have somebody taking all that attention, he's kind of an ineffective player. Well, Hintz is back, getting all that attention, and all of a sudden Robo has a hat trick, and the Stars are up 2-1 in the series. And, you know, they haven't been the better team by much, but they appear to be the better team when they're all focused and ready to play. And, you know, we'll see what happens in game four, but the Stars are in good shape, up 2-1 against Edmonton, with game four in Edmonton on Thursday. How you like that, Doug?
It's all good.
All right, it's been a late night, and so we will catch up on Thursday. What is today, dog? It's, you know, Memorial Day got me all jacked up, man. Today is Wednesday.
Today is Tuesday.
I'm thinking Wednesday because the show airs on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's Tuesday all day.
But today, it's Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, but the show, when you guys are listening, it'll be Wednesday morning.
Yeah, yesterday was Memorial Day.
Yeah.
What's today?
Today is your birthday.
Roger that.
I meant to talk about that earlier. I got sidetracked. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, dog. What'd you do?
Let's see. I ate barbecue, potato salad.
Where you eat it from?
We had a friend of ours cooks it for us.
Who that?
Her name is Rochelle.
She just cook it for y'all, or she?
No,
just,
she cooked
like,
it
does
for
it on the side.
She's a chef, but she cooks good at home. So we just pick up some rib, couple slabs, and some sausage, and a brisket. And
you got like some leftovers?
I got all kind of leftovers.
Well, I might be out that way tomorrow then.
Yeah, come on by. We're gonna be the lights gonna be off and the door gonna be locked.
I mean, that was just so unnecessary.
Well, you ain't getting my leftovers, dog. I believe you coming. I'd be damned if you come by for some leftovers and you ain't bring no jam session bowl. You understand? You can't. It don't work like that. I had to go get the jam session bowl. It was worth the trip now. I'm going to get out there for what is that? What they do on Wednesday? Don't they do wings or something? What day do they do smoke wings?
Wednesday wings,
there you
man.
Go. There you go. I'm going to get out there on that day, too.
That's tomorrow.
That's right. I won't be out there tomorrow because I got leftovers. But me and my wife love that place, but it's all good. But, yeah, I did that. And then my wife cooked a pistachio cake. It's pretty good.
I have never, ever heard of a pistachio cake, real talk.
Yep, you won't get none of this one.
What did the...
It's a bundt cake with chocolate chips and pistachios, nuts, pecans. One part is, it's like a swirl. One part is chocolate, one part is vanilla. It's my favorite cake. She cook all kind of cakes. 7-Up cake, scratch strawberries. She cook a great strawberry cake.
Right.
Yeah, she does that. She likes to bake brownies and stuff like that. But yeah, the pistachio cake, that's my deal right there. But yeah, I think I got a Mavericks hat, a Mavericks t-shirt, and something else, and we celebrated my daughter last Tuesday. She turned 29, so we celebrated my birthday. Went out to eat and all that stuff. Me and her celebrate together. But yeah, it's pretty good. I did a little yard work, and yeah, it was all good today. Another trip around the sun. It's all good.
Yeah, better than the alternative.
Yeah, another day above ground is a good day.
Yeah, no, that's good. I hope you enjoyed your day.
Yeah, I got a lot of calls, a lot of texts, a lot of Facebook stuff. It's all good. It's all good. I'm tired as hell right now.
All right. Well, we're about to go home. So, remember to, what do I want y'all to do? I want y'all to check out the YouTube station. It's the Real Jacques Talk on YouTube. We got a great interview up with Darren Woodson, who I promise you revealed some stuff about himself you've never heard before. You can follow the show on IG at the Real Jacques Talk. You can hit me up on X, Twitter, at JJT Journalist. If you think you follow me, you don't. Because my account's been hijacked. And then on Clapper, you get all my videos. Clapper's a new app. Download it. You'll like it. You'll enjoy it. It's got a tic-tac. It runs kind of like TikTok in terms of interface. So I got a bunch of videos up there almost every day about the Cowboys or the Mavericks or something sports related. So until we chat again, for Big Joe and the Big Rig, happy birthday, dog.
Appreciate it.
You guys be blessed.